Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for November 4th. It's brought to you in part by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and joining me as usual is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy?
Well, not too much. I don't know. Has anything been going on?
I don't know. All I know is it's late, and there's a lot of celebration and beer spilled all over the place. And that was going to happen no matter who won tonight. But,
True. True. And Wayne Grasick, our estimable colleague, calls that the beer fight.
Beer fight. Yeah. Well, it's a beer party, baby. It's okay. A party. There's no fighting going on.
It's the extreme kegger.
All right. Well, on this week's show, we're going to talk about the Japan series and the way the Rakuten Eagles won. And that's probably about all we're going to have time to do. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases.
All right. Well, it was the year the commissioner's version of the hidden ball trick. It was the year of Vladimir Coco Ballantyne breaking the home run record. The year of perfection from Ma-kun, Masahiro Tanaka, and finally, the year of the Eagles. They win it in Game 7. They beat the Giants, which I didn't think they were going to do. I was saying all day long it's going to be a blowout. The Giants are going to win. They're really good in these situations. They don't come to the Japan Series and lose. That's not what they do. They're really good in these showdown closing moments, and I just thought the Eagles would probably crumble from the pressure, and they didn't do it. So
nope.
I was really impressed with them. I was really impressed with the way Manabu Mima pitched in Game 7 and won that game. My whole impression of the series was at first I started to question Senichi Hoshino, the skipper of the Eagles. I kept thinking, well, now I see why he's never really won a Japan Series championship. He keeps doing goofy things.
I think the reason he's never won is more likely that his teams have always been the much weaker team. I don't think he should have won this one, but, you know, give him enough times.
Wow. You can't lose them all, he says.
Well, no, I'm just saying that his teams really had no business being in any of those series, and they almost, the 2003 Tigers almost beat the Fukuoka Daiei Hawks because Oh is a terrible manager.
I disagree, though. In the 1999 series, I thought the Dragons were good, but the problem was that they had some key injuries. But that pitching staff was really good. Remember, they started that season. I think they went 12-0.
Nah.
Yeah. Well, that's.
Nah. They didn't have the power. They did. The pitching was.
They didn't have the power because Yamasaki was injured and couldn't play. He was one of their big boppers that year. But anyway,
they didn't have the power to begin with, and then they were using. You know, they were using, like, Bat Boys and stuff as the DH.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to stay on track this week. I thought Hoshino should have used Ma-kun to start the opener on Game 1 as opposed to Game 2 because it didn't make sense to me when that was announced. I tried to justify it on his behalf, but I really couldn't do it. I thought, well, if you use him in Game 1 and he comes back in Game 4, he can throw three games for you potentially. And what we saw from him, obviously he throws 160 pitches in Game 6 and comes back the next day and pitches. So he's totally capable of pitching on 2-3 days rest. So if you put him at Game 1 and let's say he goes 2-3 in the series, you're in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
So I really didn't get that. I want to grade him as a C in this series. I didn't think he did very well.
Well, I think, That's an interesting strategy. And the funny thing is, when it comes to these kind of oddball series strategies, that has to classify. It's an old strategy. It used to be the way the World Series used to always be played that way. Your best pitcher would pitch games 1, 4, and 7. And as I said last week, the last time that was done in the Japan series was 1992 with the Yakult Swallows using Yoichi Okabayashi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that at the time was, I don't think it had been done in probably 7 or 8 years or 10 years in Japan. It was pretty rare. Katsuya Nomura did that. Okay. Now that's an unusual case of an oddball series strategy. And the reason I say it's unusual is not, it's somehow special. It's one that he went into the series planning to do.
Mm.
Okay. Most of the oddball series strategies you see nowadays with so much specialization are sort of last-ditch efforts.
Yeah,
because
they're born out of desperation.
Right, because the parts of your team that you depended on didn't work.
Or you don't think they're reliable, which is what I think was happening with the Rakuten bullpen. I don't think he trusted some of the guys.
Well, you go into the series assuming that the parts are going to work well enough for you, you know, with a little help, mm-hmm. you know, from some, you know, from one of the starters or something, with a little help, they're going to get you through. But now that worked for Rakuten. Their bullpen really didn't need to be too good because their starters were so good.
Yeah, they turned everything around. I mean, I kept thinking.
No, I mean, in the games in which they were used like starting pitchers, they were pretty good.
I see. Yeah, but I mean, that was still one of my concerns going into the series. I wanted to first note Seiichi Hoshino's past Japan series experiences. In 1988, the Dragons went up against the Sabre Lions and fell in 5 games. Now, Hoshino and the Dragons won game 2, but then they lost 3 straight at Sabre. And then in 1999, the Dragons fell to the Fukuoka Daiei Hawks, not yet SoftBank. Again, they won game 2, and then they lost 3 straight at home at Nagoya Dome. And in 2003, the Tigers lost in 7 games to Daiei. They won the pivotal game 5, but then they lost the last 2 at Fukuoka Dome. So,
that was a series where the home team won every game.
Yeah. So it just looked like they were headed for this lose 2 in a row at home kind of scenario where, and then Hoshino fades away. And like I said, I could clearly see how things were happening, that I don't think he needed to change the lineup because I think their lineup is pretty much set, but he did make a couple lineup changes and he hit the jackpot with Akihisa Makida hitting a home run in game 7, but I didn't think they needed to change because their guys, even though they were going up against a left-hander, I thought that was fine. But I just, and I'm sure everybody was worried when Masahiro Tanaka started to warm up for that game and thought, oh my goodness, he can't be serious. They're not going to bring him in to face this lineup again after he just lost and threw 160 pitches in game 6. The other thing that I thought was Mima was, he hadn't given up a hit since early on in the game. I thought he could still go another inning. And they joked about it. Remember when, after Mima threw his first postseason shutout or career shutout, it happened to come in the postseason, Hoshino said, well, it's my fault that he's never pitched a shutout before because I always pull him too early. And there he goes yanking him too early again.
Well, he was amazing. I mean, his game 3 start was pretty good. Today was outstanding. You know, he had spots where his location was really off.
Yeah, he did.
But that being said, sometimes it looked when his location was off like he was toying with him. All his pitches were working. He had a devastating curveball. His slider was a little, but you know, that combination of being able to locate his fastball and his two-seam fastball, and his four-seam, be able to locate his fastballs on both sides of the plate and throw that curveball for strikes or throw it out of the zone, and then just the slider to give a little different look. The Giants were like going, hold on a second. We're supposed to be good at this game.
Yeah.
they look completely confusified.
Yeah. Well, in that respect, I think Hata, on the other side of the diamond, I think he was aggressive in all of his moves. I mean, when things weren't working, he tried something else. And I really liked his lineups. I liked the adjustments he made. I think he probably regretted not having Jose Lopez batting a little bit higher in the lineup in this game 7 because after that home run last night, I think he righted his ship, and I think he would have been more productive a little bit higher. I think his insistence of putting Shinnosuke Abe right in the heart of the lineup when he wasn't doing anything at all and hadn't done anything at all, I think that kind of hurt him, and Abe just really looked awful. And you know, this was one of the problems I had with Hoshino. I heard reports that Abe had a bad shoulder, and we could see that some of the throws that he made to second base were looping, and he didn't have much on it. And the Eagles refused to run on him. Hoshino just refused to let a runner get thrown out on the base paths, and consequently, they hit in the double plays every chance, just about.
Well, he got a little gun shy after the Eagles were running into like just, I don't know what you call it, misadventures. They had a lot of adventures on the base paths in the Japan series.
They had a lot of Yasuo Puigin going on out there.
Okay.
Yeah, so what did you think about Hara? What kind of grade would you give him?
Well, let's see. Did he do anything wrong? Well, I think, again, I think he made some poor gambles that worked out. I thought the Itaro Hashimoto starting the game in Sendai was a poor gamble. Mm-hmm. Although, as I said this last week, you know, it was a poor percentage move, but it didn't hurt him.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, no, I thought most of his moves were pretty good. I think the biggest, the silliest move the whole time was keeping John Bowker out of the picture.
Yeah.
Because Bowker's a very steady hitter. He did a pretty good job in left field. He had a couple of bad reads. He had one good one that was important, but he was very useful. And I would have liked to have him and Takahashi both in the lineup.
Yeah, but
all the way through. Anyway,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I would have liked to see JB play a little bit more as well, but I don't think that hurt him as much as the not moving Shinnosuke Abe out of the order.
I think you're probably right about that, and I think the reason why it hurt them is not because I don't think of the lineup positional as being that big a factor, but I do think that had Abe been batting sixth or seventh, he would have felt less pressure. I'm down here for a reason, and I'm just going to relax and hit, because he had I'll say this, the Giants had so many good pitches to hit that you were just going like, wow, what's he looking at that pitch for? And wow, is that all he can do with that pitch? It was like they were off balance most of the series.
Well, yeah, I want to stick to the managers, but we can talk about that stuff later, yeah.
But for as far as Hara, yeah, I don't know, A, B, C. I think, Hoshino, you gave him a C, but I think that's a little harsh. I think, given the tools he had to work with, I think he did pretty good. I would say I'd give him a B plus. I would think Hara, I might give him it's hard to give a manager too much credit or too much blame for things, but, I might give him a C plus or a B minus.
I was going to give Hara a B plus, because like again, I said, I liked when things didn't work, he made moves, and one of them was when Kentaro Nishimura blew a game and it looked
like he shifted him around.
Hara put him on the blacklist. I mean, you know, he was.
Yeah, for one day, yeah.
Yeah, he was just, I mean, they only put him out there in the finale because they were losing, and I think they had nothing else to lose, because if they did get the lead, they were going to put someone else in who they could trust. So.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll go with that. I mean, but that's sort of responding to the circumstances. I don't know that that gives him a better grade than Hoshino, because Hoshino did more or less the same thing with, you know, he responded to the changes he needed to respond to. Although Hoshino was lucky because his guys were hitting like crazy. He didn't have too many things to change. They were hitting and getting on base like nobody's, like they were playing the Bay Stars or something.
Yeah, they did what they've been doing all season, which is they don't hit for a lot of power all the time, but they do have good at bats. And with the good at bats that what I mean by that is that they don't swing out a lot of balls out of the zone. Mm-hmm. And when they do swing at balls in the zone, they're able to put them in play on a regular basis. And if you do that, you have a higher chance of getting on base. But
sure.
You know, they weren't hitting. They didn't hit great. They didn't hit great in the clutch. They just did enough. And he threatened. He said after game two, when they won, he said, when we go to Tokyo Dome, we're going to have a scoring explosion. And that really never materialized. But they still they scored pretty frequently and pretty regularly when they – in the games that they won, obviously, but when they needed some runs, they got the production. Game four, when they lost 6-5, they got out to a 3-run lead. Andrew Jones hits the home run early on, and I thought they could have done more to try to add on some runs, and again, they didn't. But the other thing about Hoshino, or I guess the main thing for me was, why not use Makun in game one? And if I ever get the chance,
stuck on that.
If I ever get the chance to ask him, I'm going to ask him, because I really don't get it. And let's hope Tanaka's not hurt, you know, after throwing 175 pitches in less than 24 in about 24 hours. Let's just hope he doesn't get hurt, but.
Yeah, it's a pretty rare chance, but there is that, there's always that chance of, you know, it's sort of like leaving a manhole open in front of him. Sometimes people are going to fall through that. Usually they'll see it and avoid it. And that's, you know, he put him at risk. I think it's a very tiny risk, but, it is a risk,
yeah.
You know.
So yeah, there was one line. I mean, I think a lot of people around the country were pulling for the Eagles. I'm glad I was wrong. I did predict that the Giants would be able to beat Maku once, because you're facing him twice in less than a week. You have an opportunity to go back and look at the video, and then you have that experience. So it's too bad it worked out that way. I was hoping that they could win. I was, you know, obviously pulling for the Eagles to win, just like a lot of people. Someone wrote on the Facebook page, I think it was Claudio in Toronto, and he said, He'll borrow the line from Chris Rock, which was, no one wants to see someone like Bill Gates win the lotto.
Yeah, and, I saw that.
And
I hear that.
So yeah, I think a lot of people around the country were pulling for the Eagles. I think the people of Sendai, the people of the Tohoku area enjoyed and were crying and moved to tears and enjoyed that championship a lot more than probably Giants fans would have. Which is not to say that the Giants fans didn't deserve it. It's just that I think it's a better story. It's a better narrative to have the Eagles win it. And,
sure.
And it's a really good story, and I'm real happy for them. And I'm sad that the season is over, but it was certainly a fun way for it to end. It was very dramatic. All the games are very compelling. They were close games. You know, great series.
Well, I think, there's so many ways of looking at it, and I think you hit it right on the head that the Eagles batters. Now, normally what happens, you know, in the typical pattern, this series reminded me a little bit of the 2001 Kintetsu Buffaloes, Yakult Swallows series. Well, I probably don't expect too many people to remember that one. It was a 5-game series, and you had one team with a ton of power and another team which was good at getting on base.
Mm-hmm.
And played really good pitching. It had really good pitching and defense and got on base like crazy. That was the Swallows. And they had little power. They had Roberto Pettigini and Alex Ramirez was in his first season. And they had some pop. Inaba was there. And it looked like, but the Tuffy Rhodes and Norihiro Nakamura and the big home run guys, it looked like they had the big advantage because of the power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and essentially the two series played out that way, although one was a 5-game series and one was 7. It was basically that the Swallows just got on base like crazy. The Buffaloes couldn't keep them off base. And that was the series. And their power just didn't make a difference because they couldn't get on base against the Swallows, and the Swallows had no trouble getting runners on base anytime. Okay, now that's more or less the way this series turned out, although it was a surprise because, to be honest, it's not like the Giants don't get on base.
Mm.
This is not an advantage for the Eagles. It is the Eagles' only chance of parity is that they get on base as well as the Giants do.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so there was no edge. There was no edge to be had in this series for Rakuten. They didn't have the bullpen. They're starting pitching. Now, I would go that in name value, the Eagles starting pitching was pretty lame because they only had two guys that anybody knew. But, in execution.
In performance, yeah.
Yeah, in execution, their starting pitching was vastly superior. I mean, which Giants, with the exception of Tomoyuki Sugano, who, yeah. Had a series.
Yeah.
He had a series MVP caliber performance.
Certainly did.
And I thought
he got yanked early from the game he lost. They just pulled him because he gave up the runs in the sixth inning. But I think he could have pitched more. He didn't really need to go.
No, he was superb. And the other, I'd also give credit to Hirokazu Sawamura. Had a great series. Scott Matheson had a tremendous series. You know, after the Giants bullpen got warmed up in Sendai in that first game, they were pretty good. And Nishimura was scary, as he can be when he's rusty. But now the bullpen was fine. The Eagles bullpen was seen but not heard from very much, which is the best.
Yeah.
And Hoshino responded to that. Norimoto's move was, I think, perfectly sensible. It wasn't a surprise. everybody saw it coming, I think. It set Mark Kuhn up to win the game on Saturday. I asked Andrew Jones about the base running mistakes. He said basically after game, after losing on Wednesday in game four and the series being tied and more base running error, two couple of base running errors on the part of the Eagles. He said, we have to fix some things. And he said, the following day, he said, we've got to fix some things, you know, that we know we've got making mistakes and we have to fix them. And I said, are all the outs on the bases the problem? And he says, no, I don't think so, because basically we're just trying to take advantage. We're trying to push every advantage we have.
Mm.
And, I guess if you're, and from one aspect, that's understandable, because if the home run is what you're lacking and base runners are plenty, then you push that advantage, you bunt, and you move the runners over any way you can. You take chances on the bases. And right. It turned out that those chances, the bullets had, you know, the Rockton Eagles had bullets to spare. Mm-hmm. They never had trouble getting guys on base.
Yeah. Yeah, they were getting all over the base. All right, well, let's talk about game three. This was Tuesday. The Eagles won it 5-1. Nemo was pretty sharp. Again, 5.2 innings or 5 2/3 innings. But he gets knocked out of the game on Abe's first hit of the series, which goes off his right foot, I think it was, and he gets knocked out. So they end up going to the bullpen now. Kenny Ray, of all folks, does great work out of the bullpen. He gives up, a home run, and that was in the eighth inning, and that was it. And the Eagles shut it down. Fujita did well. Genji did well on the big stage. At one point I called Fujita, Yasiel Puig, or not Yasiel Puig, who's the guy who is? Oh, I called Fujita, Kazuya Poppy Fujita, because he was hitting like Big Poppy was hitting in the, They couldn't get him out.
He had a heck of a postseason. This is a guy that, it was basically, two guys who weren't really well liked by their teams. The Bay Stars traded Kazuya Fujita for Uchimura, two smaller defensive second basemen, both of whom played very well for the teams they were at and weren't particularly well welcome there. Mm. But Fujita's been tremendous. I always liked Fujita. I thought he was a guy who the Bay Stars never really underappreciated. Uchimura's a guy who's not, I think, thought highly of because he's very small. I think there probably are bat boys who are bigger than him. I'd be surprised if there aren't bat boys in NPB who are 2 inches taller than he is.
Yeah.
But Fujita was always a great player. I was always astounded by his defensive numbers and his defensive value. When I watched him in a game, I thought, wow, that's a good play. When I watched him hit, I always thought, this guy's got an approach. Uchimura has a good approach too. He's a really smart hitter. But Fujita's, Fujita showed his versatility. He put his stamp all over that series.
He did, and they just pestered the Giants pitchers, because when they wouldn't chase pitches out of the zone, they were recognizing pitches right away. He wasn't missing on swings. You know, he might foul something off, but he wasn't missing. He didn't strike out a lot in the series. And this particular day, he had a double and a single. He drove in two. So it was a big game for him. And then Takeru Okajima, you know, leading off, I wasn't sure what this guy was going to do. I really wasn't paying much attention to him, because I think we talked about the fact early on, I think it was back in July when, was it Shimauchi?
Shimauchi.
Got injured for the Eagles. And I said, this is kind of a big loss, but they're going to bring in, Hijirisawa, and he's going to be all right because this guy has been starting, so he's going to make up for it. But Okajima, I never really saw that coming, and they just left him in the leadoff spot, whether he was facing lefties or righties. And this guy just, like I said, he put balls in play, you know, and they did great work. Genji Akaminai sort of emerged as one of the top number three hitters, I think, in obviously of all the postseason teams, but perhaps in Japan. And then they get this two-inning stint from, was it two innings? Kenny Ray, yeah.
Two and a third.
2 1/3 innings from Kenny Ray.
It came out because of the injury. He had,
right. Yeah.
He had all the time he wanted to warm up. So.
Yeah. A journeyman from, he's pitched in Taiwan. He's pitched in
Korea.
He's former here.
Major leaguer.
He had taken a batted ball off the side of his face earlier in the season. And I was actually watching that, and he staggered out there and had a broken bone. I don't know if it was the orbital bone in the eye, but he's wearing the mask of Zorro out there on the mound and takes it off between innings because it's so annoying. And even, I think he took it off to bat, right?
Yeah.
He did come to the plate and he took it off to bat. But when he was pitching, he had this mask on, and he comes up with a big game. And, you know, you're thinking, these guys are not this good. I mean, what's going on here? And you look at the lack of production by the Giants, and it was just staggering.
I think that's absolutely it. They did get they taunted the Eagles pitching was, the pitching plan was absolutely a work of art. Because, well, in order for that to work, the pitchers have to execute. So number one, you got to give credit to the pitchers for executing
Definitely.
A large number of pitches. Much better. Their execution was vastly better than, I would say it was vastly better than Utsumi in general and Sugiuchi, absolutely. They were not able to, they were able to taunt the Giants, throw it in the zone, you know, right in the middle, throwing breaking pitches right in the middle of the zone. Of course, a couple of those breaking pitches ended up in the seats, but that's another story. Those were mistakes more than, but they pitched everywhere. They had, you know, it was inside, outside, up and down, out of the zone, a lot of out of the zone, especially some of the lunkheads on the Giants like Murata could not lay off anything 5 inches out of the zone. I mean, Chono likes those pitches outside, and he feasted on some outside fastballs, but, they had these guys chasing fork balls pretty much from game one to game seven.
Yeah, even in this particular game, well, in the next game, I think it was, and maybe we should just go ahead and move on
to
the next game, game four on Wednesday.
Right.
And the Giants came back to win that one 6-5.
Right.
Now, Andrew Jones hits a 3-run home run in the first inning, and they end up getting a 4-1 lead after two innings, but they lose the lead late. And again, Takayuki Terauchi and then Tetsuya Matsumoto, who comes off the bench, and I thought that was another good move by Hara.
That was, well, he was, yeah. I think that was a move that he didn't expect to, you know, nobody expected that to work out, but he and Chono put on a show.
Yeah, it was really good. And Matsumoto walked twice, singled, and he scored all three times that he was on base. And
he started all three of their come-from-behind rallies. So
yeah, and again, you're thinking when the Eagles get out to the lead, well, this is good, but this is just, you know, it's so early that the Giants have. I mean, these are the Giants. We're used to seeing them come back, and they power their way back into games, and they're never dead, and that's what they did. All right, well, this is after game four. Let's take a listen to AJ and Scott Matheson.
Came off score right away, but the Giants started by the end. They didn't give up. They kept pushing hard and kept scoring. That's the reason they in the final, because they could team. So I think we try to get battled with them, but they came on top, so nothing you can do about it.
Conditions is whatever it is, you know, this is the final, so there's really no condition to worry about. Every day is one game at a time, and just go out and give all you can. You know, the homework was all about Scott Report. You know, I look at the Scott Report, what he did with previous guys that have power, and, you know, we throw high fastballs, so I look for it.
I think everybody, you know, on our team, you know, we know what we need to do. We know what we did wrong today. So just have to put it behind us and look forward tomorrow and go out there and perform on a higher level. You know, we know that this is not going to be an easy series. So, you know, we need to continue to play good baseball, pitch the way we need to pitch, and, you know, let anything take care of that.
It was a really tight, you know, up and down game, and you came in and you and you came in and kind of settled things down.
Yeah, I just, you know, try to, whenever I go out, try to have as quick of innings as I can, and, you know, I know that hitters don't, you know, the fielders don't want to be out there sitting, they'd rather be up to bat, so I try to just make it as quick as I can, and, you know, hopefully I can have a quick inning.
You said that you haven't really pitched two innings during the regular season, but were you okay? Were you ready for it?
Yeah, you know, okay? I feel fine. Obviously, it's a playoff, so we got to do whatever we can, and you know, hopefully I can pitch in two more games and then finish the year.
Yeah, he was asking about you got the win.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
You know, as a reliever, I'm not too worried about wins. You know, it's, I guess it's nice to get, but I don't really care about the staff too much. You know, as long as I can do my job when I'm out there and our team wins.
Is there any difference at all for you coming out in this situation in the Japan Series from the regular season? Because you always seem so level and even keeled.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, I try to treat every game the same regardless of the, you know, what the game means. And, you know, luckily I've been able to come in games where we're winning or tied. I had a pitching coach in the States that always told me that, you know, as a reliever, when you come in and you're ahead, it's always a lot easier because the hitters are the ones that are stressing, and, you know, all the pressure's on the hitter to be able to get a big hit, tie the game, or go ahead, and, you know, and they're going to fail. The best hitters in this game are still going to fail 70% of the time, so yeah, that's all I try to really think about. Even when, if I'm struggling, I just remember that if I make a mistake, you know, they're still going to fail, and they're not going to hit it most of the time.
Okay, now to push that a little further, when you said when you're ahead, the other guys feel like, you know, the pressure's on the other team, but mm-hmm. with your bullpen, when you come out and there's Yamaguchi and Nishimura behind you,
yeah,
even when the game's tied, you have to feel like they're at a disadvantage.
Definitely, and I feel like they feel like that too. I mean, you know, when we've been able to put up good numbers all year, you know, I think I hope it's intimidating to the other team, and you know, I hope they feel like the game's over once we're in. And you know, the more stress and pressure you can put on the other team, it's always a lot better and a lot easier for us.
Thank you for getting that, Jim. All right.
Thank you, AJ and Scott. It was a great pleasure. Fortunately, I got to see both of you and say my farewells before you hit the road to Sendai. And thank you also to my colleague, Dave Houston, for picking up the slack, you know, and being a part of the team.
All right, thanks a lot, DH. It looked like to me that the Giants were trying to get a lot of fastballs past AJ. And again, I remember when we talked to him earlier this season, I said, "Hey, looks like they're throwing you a lot of fastballs inside," and he said, "Well, maybe they think I can't hit them," and he. Again, waiting for his pitch was the message he gave to you in an interview, and then to me he said, "Well, maybe they think I can't hit them," but he got one, he hits it out, and they have this lead. But I never thought it was a sure thing, and of course the Giants come back, and unfortunately for the Eagles, it looked like they were in trouble. And this was the day that you were there, right? When
right.
the announcement about Kawakami, how did all that go down? How did that play?
Well, Kawakami Tetsuharu, I should do it in American word. Tetsuharu Kawakami was a Hall of Famer, who would have been in the Hall of Fame as both either as a player or a manager. He did it all. He was the manager of the V9 Giants. They won the Japan Series every year from 1965 to 1973, and they lost the 74 pennant because of ties, basically, in the sense that they lost one more game. You know, they lost one more game than their rivals who won fewer games or something. You know, that's the way it works with ties. They didn't have the same number of games. So, they lost two more and the Dragons won one fewer. So anyway, so Kawakami had died, I believe on Monday, and it was announced on Wednesday before the game. And so both teams, there was a moment of silence before the game, and both teams were wearing black strips on their uniforms in memory of this great Japanese professional baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
And it would also say that Hoshino wears 77, and he's been wearing 77 since he was the Dragons manager. And the reason he wears it is because that's the number Kawakami wore,
mm-hmm.
even though Hoshino hated the Giants ever since they passed him over, and I'm going to say it was the 1967 draft.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the top picks in the draft, and the Giants were reportedly going to sign him, and then they decided to go after Koichi Tamuchi, his buddy.
Yeah.
So Kawakami died, and you figured that might lift the Giants. And so I guess it might have, or as Hisayoshi Chono said, it might have been the salt that the training coach put on the top of the dugout steps before the game to change their luck. After the game, Chono said, "Don't forget to write, the salt worked." Get it? The salt worked.
Well, I was thinking, because I was listening on the radio at that point. I liked the radio announcers better that night. I don't remember who it was who was doing the color commentary, but he said, he talked to Shima about Jim Hoyser got the start that night, and Shima said about him, he said, "Look, 80% of his pitches don't hit the target."
Okay.
So we're just hoping that we can get him as far as we can get him, and we'll see what happens. And
masterful at dodging bullets.
Well, he gave him 3 innings. He only gave up a run. And then Hoshino brings in this rookie, and I'm like, you're trying to sneak, the term is sneak a pork chop past a wolf, right? And you're trying to throw a rookie in here against this team. And I would have had, once he let one runner, the leadoff runner on, I would have had somebody up. And if he let the next runner on, I would have yanked him. And Hoshino didn't, and he let him face 4 batters.
Yeah, I guess if that's why. I guess that's the one blemish on his series record, other than the letting Makun do what he wants with his pitch count. But other than that, yeah, I'll go with you on that.
Okay. So anyway, that leads to a big inning. The Giants end up coming back and they get enough to win. It was kind of the game that they had to win because of this announcement on this day. I thought they were going to be inspired too. It didn't seem like they were all that inspired at the beginning of the game, but they really struggled in every single facet of offense.
Well,
in this series.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the thing. They had 7 hits in Sendai over the first 2 games. How many did they have the day before that? 6. They finally got 7 hits in their win. I mean, they weren't walking a lot. In this game, they did walk. In Game 4, they did get some walks. They got a lot of runners on base. But here's the thing about the Giants, and again, they have the home run power, and they normally put people on base. It's a magical combination. But they didn't get people on base, and their first 4 home runs were all solo shots.
Yeah, that's not going to win. I mean, in the playoffs, actually, I always complain about solo shots not doing much, but they can do damage in the playoffs.
Sure they can. Sure they can.
If your pitching lives up to
right, exactly. Play. Yeah, if you're keeping the other guys, I mean, the typical postseason series is decided by guys hitting 1-run and 2-run homers, because that's the gravy.
Yeah.
The singles and singles and singles aren't going to, as the Eagles proved, you're not going to score a lot of run regardless how many base runners you get on, if the other team's good at defense, because they're going to cut that off. The Giants has never choked off the Eagles offense.
Yeah, but they got away with that game.
Okay.
Yeah, they got away with that game, and then came Game 5.
Right.
And the Eagles, again, they send out 23-year-old left-hander, a fifth-year left-hander, Wataru Karashima, and I thought, okay, we should see some more runs scored this time as well, because we remember his first start in the postseason didn't go very well.
Hmm.
And he keeps him without a hit for 4 innings.
Going against the Giants ace, Tetsuya Utsumi.
And I'm thinking, no way, this is not, obviously I'm rooting for the Eagles, I'm happy, but I'm thinking, where are these Giants batters? Where are the bats? What's the problem? And 4 innings, no hitter, and then 1 out in the 5th inning, he gives up a single.
Right.
And then, for some reason, Hoshino says, well, you know what, that ship has sailed, I'm going to the bullpen. And they had a 2-0 lead, and he brings in the other rookie, this rookie's 22, he'll be 23 next month in December, and that's Takahiro Norimoto.
And game one starter.
Game one starter, and I'm thinking, okay, well, he'll come in and throw maybe an inning or so, and we'll see how that goes.
That one I thought he was in there for the long haul.
Really?
Because you could already see the writing. If he's got, I mean, it turned out, obviously, that the other starting pitchers were pretty gosh darn good.
Mm.
I guess with the exception of Jim Heuser, who was excelled at getting out of trouble. Because he was good at getting into trouble.
Yeah.
He had a lot of practice, but he got out of three jams in three innings and allowed one run with about 27 people on base.
Yeah,
so anyway, with the exception of Jim Heuser, his starters were very effective. Okay, and here's a situation. He's got – the series is tied 2-2. If he wins this game on Thursday – he's got Masahiro Tanaka, who has not lost since Ronald Reagan was president, coming up to pitch in Sendai. And Tanaka, as Scott Matheson said at one point, he's good. He's better than he is. He's more effective than he is because people are afraid of him. People don't think they can beat him. And I think that's a little bit of that's true. He's also a little more effective than he should be because the umpires give him all kinds of breaks. that worked out in his games as well. So,
I'm not sure I agree with that, but
I do. I think when I watch his strikes, when I watch him during the season, I see him getting, I would say just a few more breaks than normal.
All right.
That's my impression.
Okay.
It is no scientific evidence. So you could just cast that on the bull pile. But anyway, that's my impression.
Okay.
So, but yeah, he has an aura, and he's a tough guy. You know, he's a tough guy. So, the thing is, yeah, you set up the Giants. They set it up so the Giants, probably some of the Giants fans were thinking, "Wow, we're out of this. We're done. We're toast."
Yeah, it's things are looking pretty grim.
So that's why I thought Norimoto is going to stay in here until they win this game.
Well, yeah, obviously when he took the mound, I'm like, okay, what is the plan here? You know, I didn't understand it. I couldn't follow. I didn't know. I'm thinking, okay, well, you're not going to bring Karashima back. You're not going to bring Heuser to pitch again. I don't know what's going on here. Hopefully you get this game and then you get Mokun. But if you don't, if you don't, then even if you win the Mokun game, what are you going to do in game seven? So,
We found out
that, but you know, obviously at this point we didn't know.
No, but I think the strategy made perfect sense to me. I mean, I thought, yeah, go for it, because if you don't have anybody for game seven, you know, Mima was hurt the day before.
Yep.
He was hurt on Monday, excuse me. He was hurt on Monday.
No, he was hurt on Tuesday.
Tuesday, excuse me. Monday was no game. He was hurt in game three, and this is 2 days later. The swelling, I guess, has gone down, and he's probably thinking, I got one shot to win. Now, you have to remember, the Eagles are fantastic underdogs in this series.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm in a position right now, if Tanaka can win one more game for me, then Norimoto can come in and give me, you know, allow one run, one or no runs over four innings. I've got this thing done. I'm an enormous underdog, but I'm going to be holding all the cards. I thought, that's what I would have done exactly the same thing. I might have let Mima go, I would have let Karashima go another inning, but I was happy to have Norimoto out there. He was almost on regular rest. He was on short rest, I think, 4 days?
Yeah, it's 4 days because
it's
me starting.
So, yeah, it's like a start. Let him go.
So, but Norimoto allows a home run to Shuichi Murata in the seventh inning.
Second home run to Murata.
Yeah, in the seventh inning. And in all likelihood, on a ball that he probably should have turned into a double play in the ninth inning, a comebacker, hit Norimoto in the glove first. And
right.
It bounced off his glove and hit him in the chest.
Now, how weird is that? Now, he lost his game. Well, one of the reasons he lost in game one was that he wasn't able to make that double play. You know, the first run against him was scored on a double play ball that he lost.
Yep.
It was a tough play. And this one also was a tough play. It was a tough play that hit his glove, but they were both tough plays. Actually, I thought this game, the game four one, was even harder.
Yeah.
The ball was hit much harder.
So,
and, anyway, so he had two chances to seal the deal with a double play, and he failed both times. So,
but still, he actually was that, you know, with Murata reaching base, mm-hmm. made it first and second and one out, and he was able to get out of that jam, and then the Eagles rallied for two runs in the top of the 10th.
Yep.
And then
against Kentaro Nishimura.
Nishimura. And then the Giants went down 1-2-3 in the 10th, and he gets the victory.
Yep.
And they go home, and it looks like, you know, Malkun can close this thing out with 9 quick innings, a typical Malkun game, and the Eagles are going to win a championship, beat the Giants, make 3 guys, Kazuo yep. Matsui, Senichi Hoshino, and Andrew Jones, give them all their first championships. And Malkun gets, in game 6, has one bad inning. Essentially, he's not had that one bad inning. And he has a bad 5th inning. He gives up 3 runs in the inning. We just weren't accustomed to seeing. I mean, I think a lot of jaws dropped, you know, throughout much of the population around Japan, and they were all feeling the same way. What's wrong with Monster?
And he's got a 2-run lead.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like you're thinking, well, first of all, it seems, having watched so many of his games this year, it's almost like he doesn't pitch as well when he's got a lead until it's late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he's kind of like feeling his way through the first 4 innings and seeing how the game goes. Okay, now if we're losing, then he steps it up a notch. And if they're winning, he kind of calms down a notch. You know, he just gets his groove on. But this game, he had a 2-run lead, and when they tied it, normally, as soon as they tie it, it's like lights out. And then the Eagles will scratch out a run, and that's the end of the show. But this time didn't work out that way.
Yeah, and, you know, Jose Lopez hit a home run off him, a 2-run shot, and Malkun got ahead 0-2 and couldn't put him away.
Big fat.
And ends up coming over the, he kept going off the plate, and Jose kept fouling him off, but he kept swinging. He said, well, maybe if I get it a little bit closer, he'll make contact, but he won't be able to get around on it and hit it. And he ended up throwing it right down the middle. Yeah. And that ended up being poke. And then, you know, Terauchi gets on base again with a single because they don't go out of the zone. Actually, he hit a good pitch that was way down and away. And
the Chono pitch was a bad pitch.
The Chono pitch was one, and the Takahashi pitch was worse because that was 0-2.
Well, the Chono pitch was the one. Now I think Chono, he needed a strikeout. He's got he needed to get out of this, and he needed to get some outs. And Chono's been chasing the forkball.
Like a dog chasing cars, yeah.
Yeah, and he throws in this, again, the way it was the day before. The same thing happened the day before. All of a sudden, it's a fastball on the outside corner, and it's like he's got that grooved. You know, 3 inches off the strike zone. Now, that's the pitch he's looking for, babe.
Yeah, and he threw a worse one to Takahashi on 0-2. They tried to get him out in 3 pitches, and he goes right down Broadway with a fastball, and it gets laced in the center. So he ends up, you know, that was the one bad inning. He gives up these 3 runs. He hadn't given up 3 runs throughout that streak that he had of 24 regular season games and then 2 postseason games without losing a decision. And then he gives up another run.
Yeah, which was it was like a fluke inning, but he gave up another run.
He gave up another run. But then after that, the last 3 innings, he's Malkun again.
Yep.
And he doesn't give up anything, but they just couldn't produce offensively. They couldn't get the runs. And that was I think that's what Hata was expecting to do, at least 3 of the 4 wins, was to get his bullpen out there and dominate the game and shut it down. And they did that in that game. So
yeah, 3 hits for the... You know, there's the Tomoyuki Sugano game, 3 hits in the whole game, and then Yamaguchi was great, and Scott Matheson, 2 strikeouts to wrap it up, and lights out, baby.
Yeah, wow.
And the Giants are thinking, geez, that was easy.
I don't know about thinking about it being easy, having to come back like that, but I did want to acknowledge Sugano. I thought Tomoyuki Sugano was superb.
Very good. Perfect. He executed as... you know, he had a tough, it's not like the Eagles were beating up on him to get a two-run lead. It was a walk and a double, and, you know, all kinds of weird stuff was going on.
Yeah. Well, I did get a chance to interview him this season. I didn't get a chance to write a story about it. I just got an interview, and he's such a nice guy. And he stood and answered all the questions. You reminded me of Hideki Matsui, the way he stands and answers all your questions and tries to be thoughtful. And
well, Saul Marino's like that too, you know, I think so.
Yeah. So,
give him a couple of years and they'll become Masahiro Tanaka. And Tanaka didn't talk to anybody from the beginning, so maybe that's not new.
Alrighty. Alright, so now it's game seven, and like I said, I wrote, I think on the Facebook page before game seven, I kind of smell a Giants route here. It doesn't look good, but who would have thought that Sugiuchi's line would be so horrendous in this Japan series. I thought he would bounce back today, at least get through two innings.
Yeah, I was thinking, boy, he couldn't locate anything. And then I was watching NHK and they were going, does Sugiuchi still throw a changeup? And they were saying, yeah, you know, sometimes when it's so bad in the bullpen that, you know, your catcher doesn't want to call it. And, it wasn't about a minute later than that we actually saw Sugiuchi's changeup, but I don't think he threw it, but just a couple of times. And, it was basically slider, fastball, slider, fastball. His slider didn't look good. They were almost the same. They were interchangeable pitches.
He looked kind of lost out there.
Mm. Yeah, the only pitches he could throw was low and away to left-handed hitters. And that was it. And any time he tried to go anywhere else, it was in the dirt, it was up in the zone. You know, if he worked inside, he hit people. If he tried to go low, it went high. He was good at low and away. But if you're Sugiuchi and you don't have any velocity, and you can just sit on that low and away slider and just try to whack it into left field, which happens.
Just a mess. So I think he pitched a total of, I guess he got 10 outs.
That's about right.
He got 10 outs in the Japan series and
he came in four starts, four quality starts in the Japan series, three wins, one series MVP in 2003. And he was, you know, he was a big game hunter, baby. And last year he missed. Here's another thing is that he had shoulder trouble last year. Perhaps it was elbow trouble, but he had an injury issue last year in September and he was unable to pitch in the postseason. And at the first, at the practice on Monday before game three, people were asking him, you know, how are you feeling about, you know, this will be your first postseason, your first Japan series as a Giant. So how do you feel? He said, actually, you know, I'm a little nervous, but, you know, I've been there before. I'll be okay. And I think he was really nervous.
You think it was nerves? I just think, I guess that makes sense because he was so awful. What else could it have been?
Well, he was up and
down. Because he's a good pitcher.
Well, he wasn't really a great pitcher this year.
No, maybe he's a good pitcher.
No, he was a good pitcher. And as you mentioned about, early in the season or at some point in the season, you deduced that Masahiro Tanaka was missing aces, you know, and we said that, okay, he faced Utsumi. He faced about three ace pitchers all year.
Mm.
And, that prompted me to go and do a study about who's facing the toughest opposing pitchers. Well, I'm going to say it was, Kisanuki probably had the toughest assignment of any pitcher in NPB, but the two guys who had it easiest were Sugiuchi and Utsumi.
Oh.
Sugiuchi had the easiest. He didn't face anybody who was any good all year. I mean, it was like they were bringing out the garbage guys to face him.
Yeah.
And he had a decent record, and I think that was part of why he had a decent record. I don't think he was coming off that injury last year. He was limited in utility in the WBC. He was used for just an inning at a time. He might have worked two innings in the spring, and he didn't quite get back into the rhythm ever, I think. He had some good games, but he had a lot of mediocre games. He saw the two worst of his season.
Yeah, that was beyond awful, and they got him out, and I think, like I said, Hara did well to get him out early. He said, hey, he didn't like what he saw, and he salvaged the game quickly. Yeah. They only scored another run when Makida hit a home run off of Salamanca.
Yeah, good credit to Makida, and that wasn't a fat pitch. He
went down and got it. He was sitting fastball, you could see, but he went down and got it, and it's so funny.
I don't call home runs very often. I don't have a sense for when somebody's going to hit a home run, but I'm thinking, let's see, it's the bottom of the order. If you make an out, you know, basically you want to get on base, but you want extra bases. Is what I was thinking. He's going to want to hit for extra bases and give him two cracks to drive him in. And boy, sure enough, he takes that extra base swing. And he said, I was just trying to whack it as hard as I could.
Now, yeah, in the first inning, Casey McGee hits a ball that I've seen called for a hit a lot of times for Japanese players. When a guy smokes a ball that well, that hits it that hard, it eats people up in the infield.
Yeah, I think Sakamoto was
he had no chance.
Well, I think the problem was after the ball got to him, he was looking for body parts that might have been detached in the process, and he was too busy looking to see if he was missing something to notice that the ball got away from him.
Yeah, I think I saw him mouth the words mommy when they saw that ball coming at him. Like, he didn't want any part of that thing. He was trying to get out of the way. McGee gets an error. I'm sorry, no run batted in, but that drove in the first run. And in the second inning, Okajima again, he doubles in a run, and he smoked this pitch. And I think that's when a left-hander gets a good swing off of you, especially a guy really not known for hitting for a lot of power. I don't know what Okajima is known for anyway, but I don't think his hitting power.
Known for being a catcher.
Yeah, get hitting gappers.
He was their backup catcher last year.
Okay, well, not hitting gappers the other way a lot. So, off of left-handed pitchers. So, I think that signaled the end of Sugiuchi in more
Here's
ways.
Another
than
thing
one.
That was kind of interesting about this game is okay. Now we've got a two-run lead after two innings, after two and a third innings. Excuse me, after two innings, and what does Hoshino do? Start making defensive substitutions. Now that was weird, except now here's what happens. He takes out Nakashima. Now the Eagles had a lot, they scored one run in the first inning, but this is the sequence. Really hard liner. Okajima starts with a really hard liner to second base. He smokes one. Fujita strikes out. On a pretty tough at bat. Mm-hmm. Hits Genji Akaminai, and then Jones drills one to left center. And then McGee these are all fat pitches, and they are just taking big swings. And then Nakashima makes the final out by lining to left field. Bowker does a great job to, well, you know, it wasn't a really hard
one. It carried, yeah. It was going to get to him. He just needed to get his glove in the right place.
Yeah, he needed to get a decent read on that ball or he was going to have no chance. He did that. It was a hard hit ball. It was hit right at him, but they smoked four pitches in that inning. I mean, that should have been a sign that that bullpen might need to be up in a hurry.
Yeah.
So, second inning, he's got a two-run lead and Nakashima, the left fielder, the starting left fielder, and he takes Makida, who started in center, and puts him in left. And he brings out his best defensive center fielder, Yohiji Misawa. And it's like we're going, how weird is that? Well, that's like weird because Yohiji Misawa just got on base every single time.
Yeah.
You know, he doubled, he walked, he singled.
Yeah.
And like, wow, that really cost him on the offensive side.
Yeah, he hit .471 in the series. He was pretty good. I mean,
Matsumoto there. He came off the bench and he looked like I should be starting.
Yeah, should have been starting all season, Skip. But yeah, I'm happy the bullpen consisting of Norimoto pitching two innings after Mima came out or got yanked, whichever one you want to call. And then Ma-kun comes in, he throws 15 pitches. He allows a couple singles, but he gets the out on a pitch out of the zone. And, you know, now I thought this was kind of odd, too, because I don't know if he was on the roster or not, but Ishii is a real good contact hitter. Mm. And, you know, if Yano comes up and hits a home run at that point,
they're losing by two runs.
No, they had two runners on. You're going to get even, but
right.
you really want to get Malkoon's pitch count up.
Fair enough, yeah.
And I thought Ishii would have been he's a left-handed batter, he's a contact hitter, and he would hang in, he would at least drive him the pitch count up in that inning. Mm. And if he gets on, then you send up Yano if you really need to.
That was such a weird inning. That was a weird inning because Tanaka threw some pretty fat pitches. And again, I saw this when the Marines were playing the Eagles in the Climax series, that the batters were looking, it's almost like they were trying to hit stuff 4 inches out of the zone. Because that's when he threw these fat breaking balls up in the zone, they're going like, hey, hold a second. That is Tanaka. He doesn't throw that stuff. So I'm just going to let that go by. It's an optical illusion. And he missed a lot of pitches. His control was really pretty bad. But you know what? The Giants were chasing it wherever he threw it. So it turned out to be no problem. Oh, wait, hold on. I got a lower one to throw you.
All right. So the Eagles end up winning it. Malkoon gets a strikeout. He hugs his catcher, and I thought Shima did a great job the whole series. He hugs his catcher.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful job.
But the most memorable moment for me in that whole thing was the way Genji Akaminai was just crying his eyes out and hugging his manager.
And
I think years from now we're going to look back and say, okay, well, this guy, you know, we kind of maybe underestimated this team because this guy turned out to be a really good player. This guy turned out to be a really good player. And this guy turned out to be a really good player. I don't know about the pitching. I think they pitched over their heads. I think Mima pitched over his head. Karashima obviously did more than we expected from him, maybe even his manager. Norimoto did great work at the age of 22. Malkoon did fantastic, obviously, coming out of the bullpen. I predicted he'd have to, if they were going to win four games, he was going to pitch four of them. He ended up pitching in three of them.
Two of them.
No, three, but he started two and he relieved in one. So he pitched in three of them. He pitched in two wins. They were able to escape. So I think we're going to look back at this team and say, hey, these were really some good players and that's why they won. But, obviously, we went into this series looking at the numbers and stuff and thinking they really don't have that much of a chance.
Well, I did. I think that's all. I think that is true. You have to look at see what these two teams are capable of. Now, you know, there were people saying the Eagles don't really belong on the same field with them. But I think there's a couple of ways of looking at that. And one of them is that, one, why are they there? And the answer, they're there obviously because they never give up. You know, this is a team that came back like crazy during the year.
34 times was the number I saw.
Right. Okay, now this is a team that's very plucky and they have a very sound approach. And we saw that in the series. Their execution was better than it. I'll have to say this, their execution in this series was better than it was all year in general.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants' execution in the series was worse than it was during the year. Not a lot worse, but I think the Eagles just out-executed them. Now, are the Giants a better team in the sense? Yes, absolutely. In terms of top to bottom talent, the Giants are a better team. But the problem is, it don't matter. This didn't prove who was the better team. It only proves who's the champion, and the Eagles are the champs, guys. And Scott Matheson came out and he tweeted, you know, he said, congratulations, Eagles, and thanks to our fans, you know, and that's the way to do it. You know, they deserve what they got. Nobody gave it to them. The Giants, I thought the Giants players, I thought, a lot of tremendous performances. They did not execute as well when they needed to. But, you know, what a heck of a don't forget what a great season the Giants had to get there. You know, it doesn't matter that somebody thinks you should win by 20 games or 30 games. You still got to go out and do it, and they went out and did it.
They did. They had a good season. You and I had a good season. Now, in terms of our podcast schedule from here on out, I think we're going to do a show for sure next week, and maybe the week after that, because we got Asian series, we got the national team playing, and we want to talk about free agents, and we want to talk about the MVP voting and the rookie of the year and all that stuff. And we'll be doing a show next week for sure, and then after that we'll figure out the schedule and figure out when we can do the MVP debate again, part two. And we will probably go to a twice a month schedule starting in December, but we'll have to see. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to the end. We appreciate it, and hope you enjoyed the baseball season.
Oh yeah, thanks for you people listening, because without you there wouldn't be no podcast.
That's right. Thank you for the great questions all season and the great comments on the Facebook page. And we're looking forward to getting a lot more. And don't forget, we'll be working in the off season. There's a lot of things going on. So send their questions via MP3 to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we will address them on the show. Thanks a lot, folks, and enjoy your off season.
Thank you very much.